For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Rahu ben Zalman Svi, Elka bas Shol Yecheskel, and Chaim ben Eliyahu, Tehenish Moiseyim Tzrurim B'Tzroi HaChaim. Also want to dedicate for Refuah Shleima, Yehuda Aryeh ben Rachel. This week, we have a rare occasion, once, which happens every once in a few years, to read Vayakhel by itself. Vayakhel is usually read together with Pekudei. This week, Vayakhel and Pekudei separate. And we get to learn Vayakhel and Pekudei for 2 weeks. Which the benefit of it is when you have two parashas in 1 week, you gotta go through it quicker, and you don't have the time to go through both parashas with the same iyun as you would if it would be one parasha. But this year we have two solid weeks to go through Vayakhel Pekudei. Vayakhel is parasha number 22. Parashas, as the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, there are gan parashas, 53 parashas in the Torah. If one actually counts, you will see that there are 54. The Farshim speak about it, and the Nitzavim Vayelech is counted as one. So Vayakhel is parasha number 22. It's also interesting that this Shabbos is Chav Beis Adar Rishon. It's the 22nd day of Adar Rishon. What's unique about the number 22 is that there are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis. Chav Beis Oisir is HaTorah. And the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Heviyani HaMelech Chadorov Nagilov V'Nismecha Boch. We rejoice in you. Boch V'Atzmusach tells us Chazal in Mefarshim on that pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Boch in the Chav Beis Oisiyos HaTorah. Boch Chav Beis. That a Jew rejoices in the Torah, and the Torah consists of 22 letters, Aleph to Tav, Bereishis Bara Elokim, S is Aleph to Tav, those are the Oisiyos that were created first, and the entire world was created through the Oisiyos of the Torah, Kiyadua. In Eicha, there are three chapters that have psukim with every letter of the Aleph Beis. So the Midrashim tell us there, because Klal Yisrael were over on the Torah, which is Chav Beis Oisiyos, we lost the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore there's Eicha laments, that's the kinus, that we cry and moan over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, which we lost because of lack of observance of Torah, which that's the Aleph Beis, from Aleph to Tav. That's how many, and how many Oisiyos? Oh, there are 22 Oisiyos. But on a happier note, Nagila v'nismecha boch. We rejoice with you, we rejoice with the Torah that was given in 22 letters, and the Rekeach, other Sfarim on that Pasuk, in Shir HaShirim, Nagila v'nismecha boch, says that it's referring to Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the 22nd day of Tishrei. Chav Beis Tishrei. Nagila v'nismecha boch. It's the ultimate simcha when we rejoice with Hashem Himself. So, being that Vayakhel is the 22nd parasha, and not just Behashgacha Pratis, this Shabbos is also Chav Beis Adar Rishon. We'll try maybe at the end to get back to this number, Chav Beis, and how it's related to the time we're in now. Now, the name of this parasha is Vayakhel. Vayakhel, everyone knows, means, and he gathered. He assembled. There are different words that the Torah uses for gathering, for assemblage. One is kohol, one is asifa, vayeosef. But the Torah here clearly calls the gathering vayakhel. And every pasuk, as we mentioned already in these shiurim, every pasuk of this parasha is a pasuk in parashas vayakhel. So the theme of the parasha is vayakhel, which means to gather, to unite. The end of the parasha, well, of course, that's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu gathering all of Klal Yisrael when he comes down from Har Sinai for the third time on Yom Kippur. The day afterwards, L'machros Yom HaKippurim, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu gathers all of the Jews and he tells them about the mitzvah of Shabbos and about the Mishkan, which we already learned the Mishkan in Parashas Truma. There we talked about the tzivui, and here we talk about the actual construction of the Mishkan. So Vayakhel is the construction of the Mishkan, Pekudei is about the Big Day Kahuna, and then at the end of Pekudei about the actual construction of the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, after it's built, when it's put up, and it stays up for a while. What's the lesson that we learn from the name of the parasha? The name of the parasha, Vayakhel. Now, we also know that the parashiyos are in such a way formulated that the beginning and the end are related. This is a concept in Torah B'chlal. That's why the minhag is when one makes a siyum out of a mesechta, we connect the end of the mesechta to the beginning of the mesechta. That's based on a phrase in Sefer Yetzirah, Na'utz soifan b'tchilosan u'tchilosan b'soifan. The end is connected to the beginning. Beginning is connected to the end, like a circle. Soif ma'isa b'machshav v'tchila. Everything is circular. Hashem created the whole world with circles. It's also that all the planets are circular, the stars, the galaxies, everything is in a circle. So the tchila and the soif connect. That's why the beginning and the end of every mesechta is connected, and certainly in Torah Shebiksav that's the case. And it's many times it's very clear and obvious, the beginning and the end of the parasha and the connection. The parasha ends here with, at least near the end, it ends with the kiyor. Vayas es kiyor in the choshes, v'yas kano in the choshes, b'marois hatsoif. It's end meaning the last aliyah, between Shvi and the end of the parasha. Not the actual last pasuk, but it's towards the end. Now the Torah reveals to us here that the kiyor, the water basin, which was made out of copper, was donated by women, and it was donated by the women who gave their mirrors that are used to for vanity, mirrors that are used for beauty and to look in the mirror. These mirrors the women donated, and they gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu to be used for whatever Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it should be used for. They sincerely wanted to give items that they own, so they gave their mirrors. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi brings here, initially did not want to accept it. Moshe Rabbeinu was not too happy with this donation, and he said, they're asuyim li'yetzer hara. Mirrors are for the yetzer hara. Moshe despised, it says, Moshe despised these mirrors, these copper mirrors. So Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem told them, don't despise it. Kabel, accept it from them. Ki elu chavivin olai min hakoil. They are more beloved to me than any of the other donations. A pella. Now, all the donations, gold, silver, everything, this was the most chaviv to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the copper mirrors. And Rashi says, why? Because it's through these mirrors that the women brought up their families in Mitzrayim. And Rashi brings the whole chazal that everyone knows. The men were out working, and they were too tired to come home. The women took the mirrors with them out into the fields. And from that came the Klal Yisrael. Tachas ha-tapuach oir articha. That's the marais hatsoivois. It means these were the mirrors that, because of these mirrors, the tzivois Hashem, the army of Hashem, meaning the multitude of Klal Yisrael, grew as a result. And from these copper mirrors, the kiyor was made. Because the kiyor was used not only to wash the hands and feet from when you enter the Mishkan, but also losam shalom bein ish l'ishtav, the peace between husband and wife. To drink from the water of this kiyor, a woman who was accused of being an adulteress would drink from the waters of the kiyor, and of course if she was innocent, and she was acquitted, she's not guilty, she was blessed, the nixav and isra azara. So, and Rashi gives the cheshbon, he says, if you look later on, you'll see that from the copper that they donated, there wasn't enough to make the kiyor. The kiyor is not mentioned in Parshas Pekudei, so that means where did the kiyor come from? It didn't come from any of the other copper donations. It came from one copper donation only, and that was the copper mirrors. Now, this is not the first time that the Torah talks to us about the kiyor. The kiyor has been mentioned already in Parshas Kisisa, last week's parsha. There, the Torah did not reveal to us that the kiyor was made from copper mirrors. So why did the Torah wait till here to tell it to us? So clearly this belongs in Parshas Vayakhel. This idea that the kiyor, this fact that the kiyor was made from the copper mirrors, has to do with Parshas Vayakhel. The parsha begins with Vayakhel, and this is what it ends with. This is one of the endings of the parsha. What's the connection? The Magen Avraham, very interesting Magen Avraham that I personally came across this week, which I never knew till this week. Magen Avraham brings down in the first siman that we begin learning as we start preparing for Purim. The first siman in Shulchan Aruch, preparing us for the Dalet Parshiyos, which is next week really, is Tof Resh Pei Hei in Eirachayim, coming to the end. And the last Magen Avraham there, he talks about Shoivivim Tat, and he talks about the fact that in a leap year, the Shoivivim extends 2 weeks, Truma Tetzava, as we spoke about in the previous weeks, and then you think it's over. And then he adds, V'yesh Oimrim Vayakel Pekude also. That's what he says. And he seems to be saying, in a leap year, it extends through the weeks of Vayakel Pekude. Perhaps, well, Vayakel Pekude is a repeat of Truma Tetzava. So it's if Tat and those 2 weeks are weeks of Tikkun in a leap year, then Vayakel Pekude should also be, because Vayakel Pekude is repetition, it's a repeat of Truma and Tetzava. And especially in a leap year, when it's separated, so you have 2 weeks, like Truma Tetzava are separated. Now, the question that everyone asks is, why does the Torah repeat practically the same thing all over again? If one goes through Parshas Vayakel, you'll notice there aren't that many Rashis in Vayakel, because Rashi says at the beginning, I already explained this Parsha in Parshas Truma. Most of the Psukim even have the same trup. So for a Bal Koreh, Vayakel is not the most difficult Parsha to read, because a lot of it is, there are changes, there are differences, but basically it's a repeat of Parshas Truma. And Pekudei is a repeat of Parshas Tetzaveh. We know that there's not even one extra letter in the Torah. We know how the Torah goes out of its way to be Mekatzer. So why is the Torah Marech? Over and over, the same thing over and over. Kedusha just said, and they brought all their donations, like as we learned in Parshas Truma. The Torah goes through all the details again of the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach. Everything, with all the details that were discussed in Parshas Truma and the same in Parshas Tetzaveh. All the Mefarshim is, why? Another interesting fact is that this parasha has two haftaras, because there are two different minhagim, Sfard and Ashkenaz. Sfard, meaning the real Sfard, those who follow Sfard, also minhag Chabad Agav also, is to read the haftar of Vayishlach HaMelech Shloimeh Vayikach Eschiram Mitzor, where Shloimeh HaMelech sends for Chiram, who was Jewish, not the king. This is a Jewish individual who lived in Tzor, whose mother, it says here, was from Shevet Naphtali. And his father was an expert craftsman, and he was very good at copper, at making things out of copper. And he seemed to have very similar talent to Bezalel, like in the parasha we read about. And then it says in Melachim Aleph Zayim, where it talks about the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, Shloimeh HaMelech and Chiram. Just like in our parasha, it's Bezalel and Oholiyav. Bezalel is from Shevet Yehuda, and Oholiyav is from Shevet Dan. The greatest of the Shvatim, lowest of the Shvatim. Rashi makes the contrast there. He says, Chur, the Noshel Miriam Haya, and he says, Oholiyav is mi Shevet Dan, and Ayurudin Shevet Shvatim, mi B'nei HaShvachas. And the Torah equates Bezalel to Oholiyav. When it comes to the making of the Mishkan, there are no favorites. All Klal Yisrael are the same. So Hashem shows that by having Bezalel from Yehuda, from the greatest of the Shvatim, and Oholiyav from Dan, from the lowest of the Shvatim, joining together. And the same in the Beis HaMikdash. Shloimeh HaMelech is from Yehuda also. The Arizal says that Shloimeh was a Gilgal of Bezalel. So it's even closer to the same person. And Chiram is a descendant of Naphtali on his mother's side, and Dan on his father's side, as Mefarshim say. So he's also a Danite, and Naphtali is also from the Bnei HaShvachos. So when it comes to the construction of the Mishkan and building of the Beis HaMikdash, we have the greatest and the lowest joining forces to build. That's the Haftarah Minog Sfar, Chabad, real Sfar. Then there's the Minog Ashkenazim, which most of Klal Yisrael follow. Vayas Chirim, it's in the same capital, except that Haftarah is from Pasuk Yud Gimel to Pasuk Chavav. And this one is from Pasuk Mem to Pasuk Nun. It's quite a short haftarah. Usually haftarahs are 21 psukim minimum. This is only 10, 11 psukim. And interesting is that this haftarah is the haftarah also of Chanukah, when there are two Shabbosos of Chanukah. When there are two Shabbosos, when Chanukah falls out on Shabbos, the first day, so the last day is also Shabbos, 8 days, it has to be that way. So the first Shabbos is Rani V'Simchi from Zechariah, and the second one is Vayas Chirim. So our minhag, when Vayakel is alone, which is rare as it is, and even when it is alone many years, Vayakel is shkolim. This year it's not. So if Vayakel is shkolim, you wouldn't read this haftarah at all. You read a different haftarah. Ben shev ashanim yahayash, vayichra si hayada. So this year we get to read this haftarah, which is rare as it is, when Vayakel is by itself, and it happens to be the haftarah sometimes when Chanukah falls out on Shabbos, of the second Shabbos Chanukah. So we're also being sort of revisited by Chanukah this week, because it's a known concept, as mentioned many times. The Kriya is Ma'ira Dizman. So when you read something in a parsha which is also read at a different time, it's like as if that time is also here. So the fact that the Haftarah this week happens to be the Haftarah sometimes of Chanukah means that there's a little bit of a message of Chanukah here, which is strange, one will say. What's Chanukah? We're getting ready for Purim now, we're not getting ready for Chanukah. However, it's Yodua, the Chanukah and Purim are connected. And Chanukah and Purim are the two Yamim Tovim that came later on, specifically for the latter generations, for the lower Neshamas, they should also be uplifted, as mentioned many times. Chanukah is Lamayla Me'asara Tfachim, those who fell below 10, left side, outside. And Purim, of course, is for the Nechsholim, for the Achras Jews, as mentioned last week. Interesting that the first Sif in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Purim, which is Tofresh Pei Vav, begins with the words, B'chanukah. B'chanukah over Purim, you're not supposed to fast before or after. B'chanukah over Purim. Why should the first word of Hilchos Purim, and the Beis Yosef, of course, every word, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, is Beruach HaKadosh. So the first word in Hilchos Purim is B'chanukah. We're not talking about Chanukah now, we're talking about Purim. We learned Hilchos Chanukah. Hilchos Chanukah is over. That's in the previous Simonim. But perhaps the Machaber is being Merameh is that Chanukah and Purim are intertwined. It's Yadua that the Psukim that we read Chanukah time have to do with Purim, and the Psukim that we read Purim time have to do with Chanukah. On Chanukah we read Parshas Miketz, and which talks about how they got drunk. Vayishku vayishkuru imay. Sfasema says it was Purim. The Shvatim got drunk. The five begodim that Yosef gives to Binyamin is a remnant of the five clothes that Mordechai walks out of the palace with, even though it's Chanukah time. Then Purim time we read Tetzava, we read about Shemen Zayis. That's Chanukah. That's what we read Purim time. The Torah purposely did that to connect them. You can't connect it in time because it's in two different times. Well, Chanukah is Kislev Teves, Purim is Adar. So in the Torah they're connected. The Torah connects them that Chanukah time the Pesukim talk and hint about Purim, and Purim time the Pesukim talk about Chanukah, and the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch begins B'Chanukah over Purim. So the fact that we have a Haftorah here as we're getting ready for Purim that is read on Chanukah shouldn't surprise us. Now, Vayakel, this year, is read prior to Purim, to Adar Sheni. In most years, it's read after Purim. In fact, sometimes it's already Shabbos Mevarchim Nisan. It could be Parshas HaChodesh already, when Vayakel Pekudei together. But in a year like this, it's read before Purim, and therefore, we have to connect the Yom Tov of Purim that's coming up to this parasha. Now, the parasha begins with two mitzvahs, basically, and that's Shabbos and Mishkan. Vayakel Moshe is called Az B'nei Yisrael, and he tells them about Shabbos. 6 days you do work, on Shabbos you have to rest. Don't light fire. Lo yisivaru eish b'chol Moshe v'seichem b'yoyim ha-Shabbos. Okay, all the Mefarshim miss, Rashi brings down. That's not the only Malacha, there are 38 others. In fact, the Lamed Tes Malachas are learned out from these Pesukim over here. La'asais, Lamed Teisha, there are 39 words here. Eile, Aleph Lamed Hey with the Oisius is Lamed Tes, Yerushalmi, Bavli, different Limudim, how do you learn out Lamed Tes Malachas from these Pesukim over here? Why is igniting a fire mentioned more than any of the others? The Zohar HaKadosh says that on Shabbos you're not supposed to get angry. But Sevaru Eish means getting angry. A person gets angry, smoke is coming out of his nostrils. He looks like he's being ignited. Like Sevaru Eish, don't get angry on Shabbos. Well, during the week it's okay to get angry. But on Shabbos it seems that there's something very much more severe about getting angry than during the week. So what is that? And then Moshe goes on to talk about the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the donations, exactly what to do. That's discussed here. As we mentioned, it's a repeat of Truma. So basically, this parsha is the tikkun for Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel brought the world back to the Zuhama of the Nachash of Chet Eitz Hadas. And right before the Nes of Purim, Haman and Achashverosh and his minions were also trying to bring back the Zuhamas HaNachash, the effect of the Chet HaEgel and the Chet Eitz Hadas. And basically it's split into two. There's what we call Deyos Koizvois, Minus, Apikursus, Avodah Zarah, Kfira. When one doesn't believe, or when one has the wrong hashkafas, one believes the wrong thing. When one doesn't believe at all, Kfira in the Rabbeinu Shalom Rahman al-Islam, or that the Achtus Hashem, what Deyos Koizvois, that's the Laisosuru Achare Levavchem, Zum Minus. And then there's Snus, Taivus, pleasure, Taivus Olam Hazeh. That's the Achrei Einechem. Those two. And we suffer from those two till today. Especially today. And it starts with the Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas was both. The Eitz Hadas was the Nachash says to Chava that, how do you think Hashem created the world? Bora, Ochal min ha'ilon u'bora es ha'olam. Outright kfira. He created the world. How do you think he created the world? He ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's how he created the world. So if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll also be Yisam Kei like him. Clear kfiru. Hanochash Hishiani. Hishiani, the Svarim say, is always Yesh Ayin. Yesh Ayin, Sveikas. Sveikas in Amuna. Kfiru. And at the same time, it's taiva. It was a fruit. Vatera ha'isha ki taiva eitz lema'achol. V'chisava hu lo einayim. So it's both. It was kfiru. Sort of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Adam Rishon Kaifa Be'ikar Haya. Adam Rishon was the Kaifa Be'ikar. He knew there had to be a God. He had no parents. How did he come into existence? Of course he knew there was a God. But by eating from the Eitz Hadas, he was considered a Kaifa Be'ikar, led to a certain type of kfira, a certain type of Deus Kaisvois. And then, of course, there's the Taiva part. Hanocha Shishiani, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf member of Meralev, Bo Nochash Al Chava Ve'hitol Bazuhama. So, Taiva's Achila, Taiva Znus, it all starts there. Then by Matan Torah, it's cleared, by us at least, by Klal Yisrael, there's a clean out. We were all cleaned out from that. Poska Zuhamasan. Then came Chet HaEgel, Chazra Zuhamasan. It came back. And what happens by Chet HaEgel? Also, there's two tracks here. There's the Kfira part, there's the Egel, there's the Avodah Zarah, there's the Vayishtachavulai, Vayizbechulai, Vayoimru Eile Elecha Yisrael. And then there's the taiva part. Vayeshev ha'om le'echol v'shosoy. They sat to eat, to drink, to feast. Vayakumu letzachek, which Rashi says means gili arayas. Shvichas donan, avodah zarah, but gili arayas. Achilu ushtia. They go together. And that's Amalek. Amalek, ashekorcha baderech. Ashekorcha, we all know, is kfira. Kfirus. Mikra nikris. Everything is a coincidence. Ashekorcha, it happened. It happened. You think it was, but there was a reason, it's by chance. Asher Karcha, that's Amalek, that's Kfira. And the Loyore Elekim, there's no Yerushalayim. If there's Kfira, obviously there's no Yerushalayim. And most of the time, all these atheists today that think they're atheists is because it's an excuse. So if you don't believe in anything, so you can do whatever you want. It goes together. I mean, the more you believe in, the more Yerushalayim you have, the more you stay away from that which you're supposed to stay away from. The less Yerushalayim, the more you convince yourself that it happened by itself and that there's no God, Rahman al-Islam, so then of course you can do whatever you want. So you have both tracks by the Egel. Same thing in the time of Purim. What was the party of Achashverosh all about? There were actually two things. The Gemara says in Megillah, Mipnei Ma, Nischayivu Sainei and Shal Yisrael Kaloya. Why were they Chayiv? Why did they deserve a punishment? So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, the famous Gemara, because they enjoyed, they had pleasure, they had a good time by the party. For that they deserve to be annihilated, just because you have a good time. That's what the Gemara says. Now what's the other reason? The Gemara is, then those in Shushan should be destroyed. Not everyone went to the party. So why was there a chiyuv? Why was there a fear, a fright throughout all the 127 provinces of Achashverosh? Because they also, from before, Hishtachavu Litzelem Bimei Nevuchadnezzar. There was a little bit of Chet Avodah Zarah. So you have Avodah Zarah, Kfira, you have Deus Kaisvis, that's from the Ishtachavul Tzelem, and then you have the enjoyment by the party, the Taiva, especially that it's known, the Midrashim say that Gam Vashti Amal Kaisvis on Ishtay Nashim, her intention was Luznus Niskavna. That's why it was a Chiddush that she didn't want to come out in her crown only to show off her beauty, which she would have done, but it was because she developed Saras or a tail, whatever Chazal says, that's why she didn't come out. But it was Luznus Niskavna, Mitoi Zohav, Ochesef, it was all to entice the Jewish people, to get the Jews to sin. And in a way of not coercion, they should want to do it. Achashverosh ordered, don't force the Jews to do anything bad. Let them come on their own, and they'll be punished much more severely than if we coerce them, if we force them, then they won't be punished. Their God won't be angry at them, so we're not going to force them. Ein oines. But by the party itself, there were also two tracks, there are two parts to the party. Because the party was not only just to get the Jews to enjoy and have a good time. The party was, as we mentioned already, what Chazal tell us, the whole purpose of this party was to celebrate the Achashverosh's calculation that the 70 years are up. So therefore there's no hope. There's no future, there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to be built, and it's all bunk, and it's not true, and the whole Judaism is fake. It's not. So you may as well just have a good time and join with us. So going to the party is not only enjoyment, it's also kfira, because it's lack of emunah. Going to that party means you don't believe anymore. Yiyush, there's yiyush. We give up. Rachman al Islam. Ain't tikva, there's no hope. That's what Achashverosh was telling the Jews who came to the party. Listen, there's no hope for you people. You know you're going to be here forever. You're not going to Yerushalayim. You're not going out of Golas. What do you need Mashiach for? What do you need the Geula for? What do you need the Beis HaMikdash for? You may as well just stay here, have a good time, and that's it. So going to the party is also both. It's kfira, it's taiva. It's like suru achrei levavchem ve'achrei einechem. So the chet egel revisited, chet eitz hadas back again. So what's the tikkun for that? So Moshe Rabbeinu already prepared us for that. That's the two mitzvahs that you have in Parshas Vayakel: Shabbos and Mishkan, which both are eternal. Even Mishkan, which we do not have today yet, we don't have Beis HaMikdash right now, but we learn about it. And learning about it is just like as if it actually was done. Kala Isaac Batayras Ayla Kilu Hikravila, Kala Isaac Batayras Beis HaMikdash Kilu Bana Beis HaMikdash. What's Shabbos? So Shabbos, the Gemara says that Kala Shaimer Shabbos Kil Chasai, Afilu Ayvila Vaidazar Kadar Enesh Maichalalai. Kol Shaimer Shabbos Meichalalai, it's in the Kol Makadesh Shvi that we sing Friday night, but it's based on a Pasuk. Kol Shaimer Shabbos Meichalalai in Yeshaya Nunches. Kol Shomer Shabbos Mechalaloi Mochuloi. Literally, it means whoever keeps Shabbos and doesn't violate, doesn't desecrate the Shabbos. But it also says, whoever keeps Shabbos is forgiven. Mochuloi. What does that mean? Someone keeps Shabbos and he's an idol worshiper, so he's forgiven. Clearly, Shabbos is a tikkun for idol worship. Meaning, Shabbos is a tikkun for kfira. Shabbos is amuna. The whole Shabbos is testimony. You make kiddush, you say vayichulu, you testify that Hashem created the world. Then there's no question about it. There's a creator, and there's only one, and he created the world, and every Shabbos we testify, and we proclaim it when we make Kiddush. And that's why someone who doesn't keep Shabbos, Rahman al-Islam, a mummer, l'chalo Shabbos, is a very severe thing. It's worse in a way than Avodah Zarah. Mummer l'chalo Shabbos, you see in Halacha, when it comes to Shechita, you can't eat from his shechita, because that's the most fundamental mitzvah is Shmiras Shabbos. Shabbos is the tikkun for Avodah Zarah. So Shabbos is the mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu right away tells us when he comes down from Har Sinai, right after he gives us the second luchos, the first tikkun for Chet HaEgel has to be Shabbos, Emunah, which also takes care of not only Chet HaEgel, but the kfira of Chet Eitz Hadas. And the next one is the Mishkan. And what is the Mishkan all about? The idea of a Mishkan, v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soichem, is just the opposite of enjoying this world just for the sake of enjoyment. Taivas olam hazeh, which a Jew is not commanded to refrain totally from this world. We're commanded to elevate the gashmias. And that's what the Mishkan's all about. The Mishkan was items, physical items with this world, physical components, elevated, and it becomes a Mishkan. And that's what we have to do. Whatever we do, whether we eat and drink, whatever we're oisegim, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Lamed Aleph, about Kol Ma'asecho L'Shem Shamayim B'chol Drachecho Da'ehu. It doesn't say don't eat. You eat, you drink, you sleep, you deal with the physical world, but different than a goy. We do it L'Shem Shamayim. We're supposed to do it L'Shem Shamayim. Doesn't say you can't enjoy, but you do it for a higher purpose. And then you yourself become a mikdash, you yourself become a receptacle, a vessel for hashras hashchina. And that counters the taiva part. The whole purpose of a party was enjoyment for the sake of enjoyment. Achashverosh shows off by that party, as we mentioned, I believe, but Ratoya Keach says, 13 different tapestries and metals. Chur, Karpas, Chelis, the Rekeach says 13. Because he's trying to counter the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, which was also built from 13 components, Yud Gimel Minim, as we see in Parashat Truma, which the purpose of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash is to elevate the Gashmias. By a Goy and Achashverosh specifically, and the Persians who were known, Parsians were known just for eating and drinking and having a good time. They weren't that into intelligence like the Greeks, or into mythology and philosophy. They were into just having a good time, eating and drinking and fressing and just partying, 180 days partying, nonstop. And certainly not for a higher purpose. And one cup and another cup, more drinks and more meat and more smorgasbords, nonstop enjoyment and ice cream and everything else that they advertise. Straight, just for the sake of enjoyment. Just taiva l'shem taiva. And Achashverosh is hoping that that will bring down the Jewish people. The Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, is exactly the opposite. You bring a carbon, you take an animal, you shlecht it, part of it's burnt on the Mizbeach, the rest is all for a higher purpose. So the Mishkan is to counter the Taiva part of Chet HaEgel, Vayeshev Ha'am Lechol V'Shosli, and Chet Eitz Hadas, and then later, Purim, which Purim is always, in a leap year especially, because in a leap year we need more tikkun, and as mentioned, we have the extra 2 weeks of Truma Tetzaveh, and the whole idea of tikkun shoivivim is to rectify to the taiva part specifically, and it goes together, because kfira and taiva go together, like sesuru achrei levavchem, is going to lead to the achrei einechem, the two go together. Asher karcha means literally keri, tumas keri, but at the same time it's asher karcha is krirus, is mikra nikrus, is coincidence. Now someone who believes in coincidence has no problem with the tumah part. So do whatever you want. If you believe that everything is from Hashem, you believe in hashgacha and you fear Hashem, but like yorei el kim, so then you don't come to the other meaning of asher karcha. So the two mitzvahs in this parasha, Shabbos, Mishkan, are to counter the two tracks, the two parts of Chet Eitz Hadas, Chet HaEgel, and of course later Purim as well. It's Yodua that all of this doesn't help if there's no unity among Klal Yisrael. When there's Pirut, when there is division, it doesn't work. That's why Haman is also trying to bring up the Kitshrug of lack of Achdus. Mefuzar u'mefayrad bein ha'amim, he says to Achashverosh. Yeshnai am echad, they're supposed to be an am echad, but mefuzar u'mefayrad, they're scattered and dispersed. They're not unified. And if they're not unified, no matter what they do, it's not going to work. And on the other hand, if we are, then even if we are doing averus, the unity is mechapa for the averus. That's Yodua in Chazal, that in the time of Achav, they were all idol worshippers, but they always were victorious when they went to battle because they did not speak Lashon Hara. There was no sinas chinam. They were ba'achtas. Masha'enke in doiroi shel Chizkiyahu, or other doiros mentioned in Chazal, who were tzaddikim, and they learned Torah day and night. They weren't united. Didn't work. They lost their battles. Because there's nothing more choshev to Hashem than the unity of Klal Yisrael. And that's why we see today clearly, especially in the last 40, 50 years, that Pirut Machloikis, that became the big thing, because the Satan knows that that's the ikuv, that's what's going to prevent the Geula from coming. There's a lot of Torah in Klal Yisrael, and there's a lot of Chesed in Klal Yisrael, and there's Avodah in Klal Yisrael, and tremendous inroads were made, especially in recent years. But the one thing that still has not yet been rectified is Achdus. And especially that it's all the Shem Shamayim, quote. That's the biggest satna, the biggest yitzhara is the lack of the unity of Klal. So you see that clearly. And all the Svarim, that Yaris Dvash and all the others speak about that was the same thing before the Nes of Purim. They were not unified. This group, that group, they're no good, and this one's no good. Mefuzar or Mefayrat Bein Ha'amim. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh writes that's what Esther meant when Esther said, Leich Kenoises Kol HaYehudim, gather all the Jews. V'tzumu alai, have them fast for me. V'gama niven aroisai otzum kein, and I will also fast. So the Al-Sheikh says a very profound thought. He says, it wasn't just that she's saying, let's all get together, let's all be ba'achdus. He said, real achdus is, you do for me, and I do for you. You fast for me, so that I should be successful in my mission. V'tzumu alai. And I'm also going to fast. I'm not going to fast for myself. I'm going to fast for you. So that's real Achdus Yisrael. Real Achdus Yisrael is not that you just get a bunch of people in the same room and you close the door. Real Achdus Yisrael means you daven for me. You, like the Gemara says, Kol Hamispala Ba'at Chaveiroi V'Utzarich Lo Yisodover. Gemara Bava Kama Tzadik Beza Manalev. The Gemara says if you daven for someone else and you need that very same thing, you're answered first. V'tzumu alai. That's what the Al-Sheikh says. The Lekach Toiv, written by the Rebbe Elazar of Gemaiza on that pasuk. So he says that Esther was asking specifically they should fast for her because she felt that she's doing something wrong. I mean, she was doing something wrong, as we mentioned. She was doing an Avera. She's going into Achashverosh willingly. She's going Beratzen, which till now, at least, she never went willingly. She only went because he forced her to come. So she's an Oinus. She's still mutter to her husband. But now, no more. So she said, fast for me. Be mispalo for me. That I just shouldn't lose my olam haba for what I'm doing. That's what the Lekach Toiv says. Sumu alive. But the way the Al-Sheikh explains it, it's you do for me and I do for you. That's true achdus. Now, it's interesting that there's a Mishnah in Midos that tells us the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says here that the Beis HaMikdash was, the Ezras Noshim was 135 Amma by 135 Amma. That's square. So it's 135. Then it goes further, and the Mishnah says that the Ezras Yisrael was a lot smaller, and it was a rectangle shape. It was also 135 long by a width of 11. Ezras Kohanim was 135 by a width of 11. The entire Azari, he says here, is 187 by a width of 135. Four times we mention the number 135. What's so unique about 135? And clearly, everything is for a reason. It's precise. It wasn't just that they picked the number. 135 is the word, is kohol. Kohol, kuf lamed hei. That's equal to 135. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring all of Klal Yisrael together. That's why the measurements show that. 135, and again 135, so I could stick, it stares at you in the face. Hashem is sending a message. That's what I want to see. I want to see you all united. That's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, to unite Klal Yisrael. That's why it's in Yerushalayim, which is referred to, Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtav, the city that connects all of the Shvatim. That's why, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Yerushalayim was not divided among the Shvatim. No division whatsoever. It belongs to everyone. Achtus, everyone's equal, and that's where the Beis HaMikdash is built. And in the portion of land specifically, in one part that belongs to Binyamin, because he, from all the Shvatim, had nothing to do with the Chet of Mechiras Yosef, so he stayed out of the fight, he had nothing to do with the Machloikas, so therefore, the Beis HaMikdash is built, at least part of it, in his portion. That's Kohol. So the Gemara, the Midrashim, that say that when there's Achdus, the Achdus itself is Mechaper, and Hashem will sort of look over the Chatoyim, because then we become a unit. If not, we're individuals. Then we're judged individually, and that's dangerous. If we're judged individually, it's very dangerous. But if we're judged as a klal, because we're united, so we have more schusim. Because as a klal Yisrael has to survive. Hashem swore that klal Yisrael will always be here. And Hashem nishbat alayim bach le'ga'altim v'le'ma'astim l'chaloisim l'hafi b'risi itam. That's why it's very important to unite. And we find this all the time. Before Matan Torah, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. By the Nes of Purim, it says V'Kibel HaYehudim. All the Farshim ask. We should say V'Kibelu, not V'Kibel. You're talking about a lot of people. Why does the Megillah use the word in the singular? And even the Kiyamu V'Kibelu is written without a vav. It's read v'kibelu with a kubitz, but it's vav kuv beis lamed. There's no vav after the lamed. The kibel hayehudim, the Jews united together right before the Nes of Purim, and that brought about the Nes, even if they didn't deserve it. And perhaps the chet of going to the party was so severe that as a result they would have deserved, Rahman al-Islam, to be annihilated, just like by the chet ha'ego. And if not for this unity, the chet of Avodah Zarah from before would have also been brought up. So Esther understood that. Esther knew that. Lech knois es kol ha'yehudim. V'nikhalu, also from the word kohol. Gather all the Jews. There has to be, once you're ba'achdus, then we can get places. If we're not ba'achdus, it's not going to work. The achdus itself has the power. Achdus is like a mikveh. It purifies. You find that in the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara says that tumas amei ha'aretz doesn't apply on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, for some reason, we trust all the amei ha'aretz. There's no tumah, because it says, v'yeosef kol ish Yisrael ke'echot chaveirim. When all the Jews get together, it removes the tumah, it removes all the iniquities, all the undesirables. The word he'osfu, which means gather together, when Yaakov said he'osfu to the Shvatim, the Targum Yerushalmi translates he'osfu, hidaku, purify. How does he'osfu mean purify? It means gather, it doesn't mean purify. When Jews get together, there's purity. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. The greatest mikveh is Yisrael when all Jews are together. How many lugin are there in a mikveh? A mikveh has to have 40 so'ah. A so'ah is a certain amount of 6 lugin. So if you add that up, well, it's more than that. So 40 so'ah ends up being 960 lug. That's what it ends up being. So that means there are 960 lug in a mikveh. That's the number that's always mentioned in all the Sfarim. It's brought down in the Mishnah, in Trumas. By certain halachas of Kashrus, 960 is mevatel. The words Achdus Yisrael, the unity of Klal Yisrael, is equal to 960. Because Achdus Yisrael brings about purification of the entire Klal. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing here? Vayakel. First thing that we had to do after Chet Ha'egel to bring about the Tikkun for the Chet Ha'egel is that there has to be unity. Vayakel. Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nei Yisrael. The truth is, Adas also means unity. Adas means congregation. How many shuls are called Adas? Adas Yisrael, Adas Yeshur, Adas. Everything is Adas. An Eda is a congregation, but an Eda is not necessarily the type of Achdus that is complete Achdus. Ad Masai Lo Eda Haro Hazais. Not necessarily does Eda. Not every unity is for the good. By the Chet Ha'egel, there was also unity. By Yikoyel Ha'om Al Aharon. But that wasn't a positive unity that led to the Chet Ha'egel. That's not the unity we're talking about here. The word Adas, as far as we speak about this in Sivu Sholem and others, Adas is the letters Das. When it comes to Das, which Das is a big madrega to have Das, we ask for it every day. Not everyone has it. You think you have it. I mean, most people think they have it, but not everyone has das. Just because they have a brain doesn't mean necessarily they have das. So we have to ask for das every single day. But when it comes to das, there's not always achdus. In fact, that's exactly what separates us. Ein dei oiseihen shavai, says the Gemara in Brachas. No two people think the same, especially Jews. But two Jews in a room, you're already going to have it. Ein dei oiseihen shavai. No two people think the same. So when it comes to Das, there's not going to be complete Achdus. They have different opinions. Not necessarily that we mean Machlokes, but there are different opinions. Ein dei oiseihen shavai. However, when we are able to go higher than that, where there is no Das, then everyone's the same. Everyone has the skull of everyone is the same. That is no difference. The brain, maybe the brain not, but the skull on top is the same. On Purim, we reach the Madrega of Adol Yoda. Adalayada means beyond Das, defies logic, higher than Das. There's no difference. Perhaps we could hint that Ein Dei Oisein, when there is no Ein Dei Oisein, literally means no two people think alike, Ein Dei Oisein Shavois. But you could also translate, when it's Ein Dei Oisein, when they're not thinking, then Shavois, then they are the same, then everyone's the same. Then there's Achdus. So on Purim there's Achdus. You see an unbelievable Achdus on Purim, because everyone's crazy. No matter who you are, all of a sudden people say they're Rosh Hashiva, acting like a fool. Or this one they looked up to, he's getting drunk, and this one's wearing this crazy costume. Everyone's the same on Purim. Mikotain v'ad gadol, which is a tremendous high madrega to be like that, because normally it's not like that. There's shalom. I mean, usually that's how it's supposed to be. There's peace. People make up. Even people laugh together. They joke together. Even people who never talk the whole year. Because we reach a much higher madreg, above das. Vayakel Moshe is called das b'nei Yisrael. Das is das. Moshe says we got to go above the das. We got to go higher than das. We got to unite. And when we unite, we'll be able to get through the Chet Ha'egel, specifically through Shabbos and Mishka. And the whole idea of Achdus is this concept of the Kiyar. The Kiyar, the purpose of the Kiyar, besides to wash hands and feet from, which that we learn about in Parshas Kisisa. Here the Torah is revealing to us another purpose, and Dafke and this Parsha, Vayakel, the whole Parsha, this is a Parsha which the theme of the Parsha is unity. So that's what we're talking about now. The Kiyar unifies husbands and wives. Shalom. Shalom doesn't only mean with your neighbor or with your enemy, with your wife too. That's the Shalom Bayis is very important also. In fact, it's so important that the last halacha in the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, which is based on the Gemara, is if you only have enough money for one candle for Shabbos or for Chanukah, you don't have money for both, Shabbos is first. That's how Hilchos Chanukah ends. You would think Hilchos Chanukah would end with the Maila of Chanukah. Hilchos Chanukah ends with the Maila of Shalom Bayis. Why does Ner Shabbos come before Ner Chanukah? Because Shalom Bayis is greater. And that's how the Rambam ends off. That's the most important thing. Peace. How much the Torah allows even that Hashem's name should be erased in that Megillah that's right for the Seitim from the Mekir just to bring peace between husband and wife. Shalom bein ish l'ish. That's how powerful peace is. That's taught over here. I didn't learn that in Parshas Kisi. Because this Parsha is Vayakel, so that's the message of the Parsha. So the Torah taught us here that the Kiyar is also for peaceful purposes, also to make peace with your husbands and wives. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu despised these mirrors, because he said it's for taiva, the whole purpose of the Mishkan is to elevate the Gashmis. How are we going to use these? Hashem says, no, accept it from them. You know why they're bringing their mirrors? Because they're separating from it. They don't want to be like that. They're not interested in vanity. They're not interested in staring in the mirror all day and who's the most beautiful in the world. That's not what they're interested in. They're giving away that the Baal HaTurim brings over here. Elu hanoshim soru mitayvas ha'olam. They removed themselves, the women, from the taivas of this world, and they gave their mirrors lenitvas hamishkan v'nocha aleihem ruach alekim. Hashem says that's the most chaviv to me more than anything else. Vashti Hamalka in the Megillah, it says she made the women work on Shabbos. She would mafshetas Noshim Arumais b'Shabbos, and that's why she was killed on Shabbos, and she was ordered to come without clothes. Like that's what she used to do to the Jewish women. She would humiliate them and make them work on Shabbos. What was she trying to do? She was trying to instill in the women of Klal Yisrael, the women should lose their emuna, because who instills emuna in the home? It's the woman, it's the mother. The Noshim have more emuna than the men in a certain way. That's why Noshim, they're the heart, the men is the brain. So the brain that's thinking, that's logic, the lave, that's emunah. Emunah is higher in a certain way. So you have the father, the husband learns, the boys are mechuyev to learn, the women, they daven, they infuse the emunah into the family. What Vashti is trying to do, since Shabbos, as mentioned before, Shabbos is the tikkun for Chet Ha'egel, Shabbos is what gives us emunah. Skinu sudasa de mehe menusa, we say by every Suda. It's Emunah. Shabbos is Emunah. Belief that Hashem created the world in 6 days and he rested on Shabbos. So Vashti purposely wants the women to violate the Shabbos, desecrate the Shabbos. They'll lose their Emunah. And if they don't have Emunah, their families are not going to have Emunah. So her punishment is she's killed Dafka on Shabbos. And who takes over? Esther. What is Esther? The first thing Esther does is she wants to make sure she can keep Shabbos. She was given 7 maidservants, and she named each one based on the day of the week. The Gemara says one was called Sunday, one was called Monday. So why did she do that? Because she wanted to know when Shabbos is. It wasn't like, you know, she was in a palace, she was out. She wouldn't know when Shabbos is. Certainly, Achashverosh is not going to tell her when it's Shabbos. He doesn't even know that she's Jewish. But she's Maisa Nefesh for Shmiras Shabbos, the opposite of Vashti. Vayehi Oimein Es Hadasa, it says in the Megillah. Vayehi Oimein Es Loshen Emunah. Mordechai instills Emuna in Hadassah, in Esther. Mordechai is the Raya Mehemna, the Raya Neman, the Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation, just like the Moshe Rabbeinu of every generation instills Emuna in the people. As the Zohar says, the Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Raya Mehemna. Because he's like a Raya, a shepherd. that instills emuna into his people, into Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu did it in his time. Mordechai did it in his time. By he oimein as hadas. Hadas as Klal Yisrael that are compared to hadasim. Mordechai infuses emuna. The only way to combat Amalek is through emuna. Shmiras Shabbos. So Vashti tries to negate that by having the women dafka be mechal Shabbos. And it's interesting because the women were the ones who were not mishtatef by the Chet HaEgel. Chet Eitz Hadas, yes, Chava. So by Chet HaEgel, the women are misaking that. Because the women did not give for the Egel. So the women were not part of it. That's why you have in this parish, Vayavoyuhu Anoshim Al Hanoshim, Bechol Anoshim Asher Nosso Liba Noison, Bechol Tovu Ezrizim, Bechol Isha Chachmas Leiv Biyadeh Tovu. The women didn't even have to participate in the Mishkan. They had nothing to do with the Chet HaEgel. But that was their tremendous emuna, their tremendous desire to be part of the Mishkan Hashem. And at the end of the parasha, with the Maros Hatzoivai, so Vashti thought, well, the women at least, you know, when it came to the Chet HaEgel, the women weren't part of the Chet HaEgel. Let's get the women now. Let's get them to work on Shabbos. Let's get them to desecrate the Shabbos. And then the tikkun of Shabbos, which is the tikkun for Chet HaEgel, will be lacking. And then we'll be able to be Ma'ira Kitchuk on Klal Yisroel. So the Nes of Purim came about after Esther says, Leich Kenoises Kol HaYehudim first, like Moshe says, Vayakels first. That will work on the Tikkunim. Leich Kenoises Kol HaYehudim. V'tzumu alai, v'al toichlu v'al tishtu, by not eating and not drinking the 3 days and nights, 72 hours. Will be misake and going to the party. Yodua, they were by the party for 6 days, because Shabbos they didn't go to the party. So it was only 6 days that they went. And it was only by day, it wasn't by night. So that 3 days and nights is equivalent to 6 days. So the 3 days of nights of not eating will remove the chait of them attending, participating in the party for 6 days. 180 days wasn't for them, that was for the officials. The last party, the 7 day party, that was l'chol ha'manim sim b'shushan. So, lech k'noises kol ha'yehudim hanim sim b'shushan. Those Jews who enter the party, they need the tikkun of fast, they have to fast. And this brings about the great Nes of Purim. But the Haskalah is the Achdus. Lech Knoises Kol HaYehudim. Same thing over here. Vayak El Moshe. Purim, all the Svarim speak about, that Purim is so great because on Purim we connect with Hashem Himself. That's Nagila V'Nismach HaBach, Pasuk that we began the talk with. Bach, the Chav Beis Oisiyas HaTorah. Bach means in you, the Atzmusach, Hashem Himself. That's why it doesn't say Hashem's name in the Megillah, not because it's lower. It doesn't say Hashem's name in the Megillah because Hashem's names is not Him. The Torah connects us to Hashem's names, the Ramban says. Kol haTorah kula shmoys of Shalach Kodesh Baruch. The Megillah, that's Hashem Himself. Megillah v'nismach habach is begematria al mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah connects us to Hashem Himself. That's how powerful the Megillah is. The Chassam Sofer says the Megillah is even higher than Chamish Chumshei Torah. The Chassam Sofer says it, he's like afraid to say it. But, and everyone who quotes the Chassam Sofer always says, you gotta be careful when you say that, but the Chassam Sofer says it. But it's based on even the Friedrich could say that, Sifra Chassidus especially, that Megillah Esther is higher than, that's why, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, if they're Mikra Megillah. Because Mikra Megillah is higher than Talmud Torah, it's higher than Avodah, because Mikra Megillah is connecting us to Hashem Himself, Megillah V'nispach HaBach. And Parshas Vayakel is the 22nd parasha, the parasha that connects us to Hashem Himself. When there's unity among Klal Yisrael, then Hashem wants to be Mashra the Shechina with us. And that's clearly the message of our time as well. That there has to be Achdus. And that's why there's always something that another Machalik is, because the Satan knows that we're ready, that Mashiach is about to come, and Klal Yisrael suffered enough, and Baruch Hashem, there's so much Torah now, and there's so many Yidden doing the right things. But the Achdus is what's missing. That's what the Yetzer Hara falakes in the last minutes of Golus. So that's why the Tzav Hashah, as they say, the call of the time has got to be Vayakhel. As it says in Yeshaya, Kohol Godol Yoshuvu Heina. Klal Yisrael will return to Eretz Yisrael as a Kohol, as a unit, united together. And it shouldn't be Chas V'Shalom a tragedy that should unite us together, but it should be on our own, that we should realize the importance of Leich Kenoises Kol HaYehudim, Hanimsim B'Shushan, Leich Kenoises Kol HaYehudim, and then from that will be Zoichet to our time, also the Nes of Purim, Mayamim Ohem B'Zman Hazeh, And intensify our emuna, which is going to cause to bring it about. The more emuna we have, the more it becomes reality. That's what Mordechai was doing. That's what Esther was doing, and that's what we have to do. Even if we don't have a Mordechai and Esther today, so we have to do it ourselves. And bizoichet to vayakel Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshiach Tzidkenu, will gather all of Klal Yisrael and bring them back to Eretz Yisrael when all the chatoyim that cause us to be in Golus will be rectified, and we should all be zoichet as one unit together to go to the cross of Kabbal Panem Moshiach Tzidkenu.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.